I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all of you here. We're thankful for your presence. We pray that we can say some things this morning that will be benefit to you. If you have any questions about what you're about to hear, we'll be more than happy to entertain those questions. Come to us, saith the Lord. I also want to add before we begin that today is the last day if you want to give any funds for Bibles on my upcoming trip to the Philippines. Today's the last day that I'll be taking those funds. If you would like to do that, just let me know. Also, I would ask that you would keep me and Andy, Brother Andy Alexander, in your prayers. We'll be leaving in about 10 days. Keep us in your prayers for our travels and also for our time there, that it will bring glory and honor to God. And I say that because today we're going to begin a series that is probably long overdue. Something that I think that we don't fully comprehend nor understand the importance of the subject that we're going to talk about for a few weeks. I'm not going to be able to conclude this series until I get back, but I want to begin it today and next week, Lord willing. I asked Brother Mel to sing the song that we just sang, How Great Thou Art. One of the things that God has called upon men to do and demanded that men do in recognition of who God is, who we are, and our relationship to God is that we give Him reverence. And I want to talk about this term, reverence. What does it mean? What does it mean for men and women, especially God's children, in how we look and we approach and we interact with the God who created us, created this world, gave us life, sustains our life, made the promises that we read about in the Bible, that we mold our life around? How should we react? What should be our reaction to the great and merciful and heavenly Father in heaven? I want to talk about the majesty of God today. The majesty of the God that we serve, the Creator, the Sustainer of life. I think sometimes we don't fully comprehend the magnitude, the majestic quality of the God that we serve and the things that He has done that we are eyewitnesses of, that we just take for granted, that we see every day. The subject we think we know and understand. We think we know about reverence. We think we know what that means, and we think we know how to express it. But by the end of this series, I think you're going to have to rethink that position. How we feel and behave towards God is part of reverence. This series, I hope, will change the way we talk, the way we think, and the way that we study in our approach to God's Word. How can we hear God's instruction? And how can we hear it? And what I mean hear, I don't mean audible. I mean hearing God's Word to understand what it calls upon us to do, the things that it gives us in our responsibilities to God, and understanding who God is and what God represents. We need to have a clear understanding of this person named God. We need to understand who He is. We need to understand our responsibilities to Him. And we need to understand how we need to approach Him in not only this service, and one of the lessons that we're going to talk about is reverence in worship, but in particularly reverence in everyday life. How do we approach? How do we acknowledge? And how do we understand the magnitude and the majestic quality of God? The text that we're going to use throughout this series is found in Revelation chapter 14, in verse number 7. The scripture in the last book of the Bible, the last revelation of Jesus Christ to mankind, in writing about some things that are prophetic, he says in verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and the springs of water." I want you to notice the phrase, "Fear God and give him glory." Reverence is all about fearing God and giving him glory. We're not talking about dread. We're not talking about being afraid. We're talking about a deep, awesome respect and awe of who God is and his person. And everything that you and I do in our life, in some shape or form, needs to glorify God for who he is and what he is and what he has done and continues to do as we live upon his earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The beauty of God's creation is a sight to behold. The colors, the magnitude, the beauty, the order, the design, the vastness of this earth and everything that is on it should be something that is mind-boggling to us. We need to be in awe of who God is. God created the heavens and earth. And another way of saying that, he created the world and this universe. We're not talking about a house. We're not talking about a building. We're not talking about a mansion. We're not talking about a mall. We're talking about this whole existence of Earth. Everything you can see and things that are so far away that you cannot see. God created each one of them by speaking them into existence. The earth, our solar system, the planet that we live on here, the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is an extraordinary thing to study about. It's 100,000 light years from us. 100,000, and times we can see. 3,000 light years in diameter, in distance. 6 trillion miles is in one light year. Now get your mind around that. 6 trillion miles in one light year. And 3,000 light years in diameter is the Milky Way galaxy. In that galaxy, there are 3 billion stars. And he knows every one of their names. 3 billion. I have enough keeping my grandchildren and my children straight in my mind. 3 billion. And all of this is just a part. This is just a part. And he spoke it into existence. He created it by the voice. His voice brought these things into existence. Can you and I comprehend that? Can we get our mind around that? that he was able to say this to be, as, and it was there. He brought it to life. He brought it forward. He brought it purpose. And he did all of it by just speaking it into existence. I've been blessed in my life to be able to travel this country and even outside of this country to see many things that are just, they're breathtaking. The song that we just sang. You know that verse in 1 Corinthians 14 that says, I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. You know that song we just sang? Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the world thy hands have made. I see the star. I hear the rolling thunder. It just thundered a few minutes ago. Thy power throughout the universe display. This is living testimony. This is thundering testimony of the existence of God, the power of God, and the majesty of God. Everything that you see is in existence because God purposed and willed it to be. He shaped it. He molded it. And he created it. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Do we understand really how great he really is? Do we understand the God that we serve and the majesty and the power and the beauty that he possesses and that he shares with us? And he gave this planet. He created it. And then he created us. And then he gave us to have dominion over all that he had brought into existence. That all of it was made for our benefit. All of it was given to us as an expression of his love. And all of it was given by a God who wanted nothing, nothing in return, but men to love him, to respect him, and to reverence his person. And acknowledge that there is no one that is equal to God Almighty. No one. No nation. No group of nations. No person is in the equality and in the conversation when we're talking about God. The Northern Lights. I hope next June I get to see him. Seeing pictures just is, I just can't imagine the beauty, the color. Who did that? Did man create that? Was man able to do something that had such beauty? No. The Grand Canyon. The Colorado River that runs through the Grand Canyon. It's a sight to behold. To see this at sunrise or sunset and deny the existence of God, you're a fool. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 19:1? The man in his heart that says there's no God is a fool. If you ever stand at the Grand Canyon, I have, at sunset, at sunrise, and you see that majestic canyon, no artist can do it justice. No picture can do it justice. And it was not formed over a million of years. It was spoken into existence by God in a flash of an eye. In a wink of an eye, God created it, and we marvel at its beauty. The glaciers, the ice cap. You won't want to live there, but it's a beauty that is comparable to nothing. God created that. God designed it. And God spoke it into existence. This is a picture of the Philippines. How do you paint that? How do you create that? You can't. You see, that's the majesty and the power of the God that we serve. And how great thou art, that's really an understatement, isn't it? How can we begin to understand the greatness of the God that we serve? How great thou really art. I need to be in awe of him. What is God's greatest creation? Us. He created the world in 6 days. What did he create last? What was the last thing God created? Mankind. Man and woman. The God we serve, we come into his presence. 6.7 billion people live on this planet. And God knows every one of their names. He speaks every one of their languages. He hears anything that they say and knows anything that they do. You get your mind around that. He not only knows their name, he knows the number of hair on each of their heads. I'm making it easy for him. His mind's getting less. But he knows the number of every head of hair. Do you know the human brain is a library of knowledge? It is a magnificent creation. Do you know there are no two sets of fingerprints that are alike? They're all individual. Differences in diversity, but yet the Bible says in Acts 17:26 that we all come from one blood. You know, blood is the largest organ in the human body. Capillaries, veins, arteries carry blood throughout our body that allows us to live and to breathe. Do you realize that there are 80,000 miles of veins, capillaries in our body? Can you fathom that? 80,000 miles. And every pound of fat, creates 7 more miles of blood vessels. Think about that. How did it just happen? How did it crawl out of the wall, grow feet, grow arms, grow a skeleton system, a nervous system, a brain? You really believe it? Who can believe such a story? How could anybody but God put something so complicated together as a human body? It is the largest living testimony of the power and the awesomeness of God, the human race. We are a marvel of creation. Where the Bible says we were wonderfully created. Weren't we? Do you know that when a foreign substance comes in your body, the body attacks to drive it out. And then it puts that in a memory bank. And if that foreign substance ever comes in your body again, it enacts that memory bank to drive it out. How does that work? Who did that? Who created man with the ability to do that? We can't even begin to understand the magnitude of the greatness of God. It's just beyond our comprehension to understand. Fear God and to give Him glory. Well, this means fear. It means, Mr. Thayer says, it means to be afraid, to be struck with fear, to be seized with alarm, to reverence, to venerate, to treat with deference or reverential obedience. I want you to look at that last definition. Reverential obedience. We are to fear God in that way. We are to give Him deference. We are to submit to Him. We are to acknowledge Him for who He is, what He is, and what we are. And we are to give Him reverential obedience to anything He calls upon us to do. Mr. Unger says, reverence, carefulness, desires His favor, to be afraid, practical piety of His godly character, respect. Reverent obedience is a response to this fear. Our reverence is a response to the fear and the respect and the reverential attitude that we have against God. He's not the man upstairs. He's not our heavenly grandfather. He's not the man with the gray beard in the sky. That's blasphemies. He's not the big guy in the sky. He is God Almighty. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. But He laid His right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. We need to treat God with reverential obedience and awe and respect. How do you do that? How do you do that? We have a danger of becoming too casual or familiar with God. And we don't really give Him the reverence and the dignity that His person should get, what He should receive. Being around Him and knowing Him can affect our attitude toward God. We must not lose our sense of awe. You're not just talking to anyone when you're talking to God. You're not just having a conversation with someone. When you and I are talking to God, we're talking to our Creator. We're talking to the one that gave us life. We're talking about the one who created this world. We're talking about the one that sustains it by the word of His power. And we're talking to one who we ought to be in reverent fear of His person and His majesty. Our experience and our relationship for long periods, could it be that it diminishes our respect, our reverence, and our attitude towards God? You see, God is not another person. He's not another human being. He's not like your father. He's not like your mother. He's not like your best friend. He's not like your wife or your husband. He's not your son or your daughter. God is in the cross all by Himself. And we should treat God differently than we treat anyone else on this earth. No matter what relationship we have, nothing is of higher responsibility and duties for the relationship that we have with God. We need to understand that I feel hopeless and so inadequate when I stand in His presence. It is a privilege, it is an honor to be able to address Him as my Father who art in heaven. That's humbling, that my Father would listen to somebody as insignificant as me and be concerned about me and be concerned about my life, my problem, my desires. That the God in His magnitude, in His power, in His infinite wisdom, in His infinite mercy, in His infinite grace, would share it with something made out of dust and clay. That God loved me enough that He wanted me to have this relationship with Him. Can you get your mind around that? God created everything you can see, everything you can touch, everything you can feel. But He only created one thing, to have fellowship with Him, to have a relationship with Him, to be able to call Him Father, and that He would demonstrate His greatest love for Him by sending His Son to die for Him. And that's us. What if God asked for all that He did, that we didn't deserve, that we didn't merit, that we could never pay back? What if He asked? He's asked us to love Him. He's asked us to obey Him. And He's asked us to treat Him with reverence when we come into His presence. And when we acknowledge who He is. Let me ask you an honest question. Is He asking too much? Who got the best end of this deal? Do you have any doubt who that is? We've got so much to be thankful for. And we should never allow this special relationship we have to ever diminish how we look at God, how we feel about God, and how we treat God, and how we talk about Him, and how we interact with Him. We must always keep this in mind of His person. Let me give you some biblical examples of God's people not treating Him with reverence. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died beside the ark of God. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 7, the New American Standard Version. He touched the holy furniture. No man was to touch. When he created it, when he had it built, he put rings of gold on four corners. He had poles, a tail pole, that would go through. They would hand carry it. They would never be able to touch it. What Uzzah did was what any good Jew would do. He thought the ark was going to fall off the cart and never should have been on the cart. David is partly to blame for this, because he had it put on the cart. But when it stumbled, the ark stumbled, he reached up to touch the ark so that it wouldn't fall over. And the Bible says it was an irreverent act. What did that mean? That means it didn't give God glory and respect. Because He had demanded that that furniture be treated differently than any other furniture on earth. So you know what I learned from this passage? It is irreverent to disobey a commandment of God. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. When people out here are doing all kinds of things in the name of God, they're doing things contrary to His will, and at the same time, they say they love God, God says, that is irreverent. To claim you love Him, to claim you believe in Him, to claim that you hold Him in high awe and reverence, and then you just disregard what He said. That's irreverent. Psalms 99. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He dwelt between the cherubim. Let the Lord be moved, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. I want to talk for a minute. He has set redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Now, if you have another translation, in the place of awesome, it says reverent. Reverent. Holy and reverent is His name. You don't know the conversations I've had to have with people. I just had one not long ago with Joe Mathis of WHBN to ask him very kindly to not call me Reverend when he talks to me on the radio. And I know he does it out of respect for who I am and for me as a preacher. I've tried to explain it. It just doesn't sink, but the last conversation, he's out of my request. Because that is a special term. The term reverend is a very, very special term. But so is the word awesome. Now I want you to hear me out. Awesome. This is the title that should only be applied to God. Now listen to me. We have grown very flippant with this word. The King James Version says reverend. But the synonym to that word and a correct translation is awesome. So reverend and awesome are really the same word. It means to hold in awe and reverence. I was a big Michael Jordan fan my whole life. I loved watching him play basketball. And I've heard commentators, I've heard even some of my friends talk about what an awesome basketball player he was. No, he was a brilliant basketball player. He was one of the greatest who ever played the game. But we should not take a human being and give him the term awesome in front of his name, because he doesn't qualify. Awesome sports team. I'm a Cub fan. I had the happiest year of my life last week. But you know what? They're not awesome. They were good. They were great. They won. They're not awesome. You watch baseball, football, hockey, soccer, and you see someone do an unbelievable thing, and they'll say, that was an awesome player. It doesn't qualify, folks. It doesn't qualify. This term is used one time in the Bible. This word is only used one time, and it's used in reference to God's name. Holy and awesome is your name. You see, our culture has caused us to look at things differently. And what I'm telling you, brethren, is it diminishes the character of God and who He is when we use words that only fit to God and we give them to other people. And you know what? I've been guilty of this. Studying this lesson, I really had to do a lot of soul searching. Is this a nitpicking point? Is this something that really doesn't matter? Well, here's what changed my mind. That term is only used one time. Count all the different words that are in your Bible. Do that sometime. You do it on Google. Millions of words are used in the Bible. This word is used one time and used only in reference to God. You think that's by accident? Is that just a coincidence? But as I tried to put in our mind who God is and how we should speak about Him, how we should recognize Him. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled with the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with the two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." What is the word, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord"? Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him, they sit on the throne and worship Him, who lives forever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they all exist, and they were created." God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. He is to be feared and to be held in reverence. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have by grace which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. All these passages emphasize that we are to fear and reverence the God that we serve. What is godly fear? What does that term mean, to have godly fear? In serving God with reverence and godly fear, it's not a single emotion. It's one's devotion to God as it is expressed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside from this great sight while the bush does not burn." In Exodus 3:3. You know that word "turn aside"? It means downcast eyes. He understood. He put his eyes down. He couldn't even look at the bush. Why didn't he look at the bush? He was afraid to look at the bush. He was afraid to look at it because he knew he was in the presence of God. You remember what God told him to do? He said, "Take off your sandals, for your feet are standing on holy ground." What made where Moses was holy ground? God's presence made it holy ground, didn't it? When we come together in this capacity, are we in God's presence? Yep. Should we not treat God with reverence when we come into His presence? Should we not have godly fear? Should we not have devotion to God? Should we not look at God in a way that we look at no one else? In closing this morning, I want you to understand something. Our limited mind, it is hard for us to comprehend and to grasp the magnitude of the power and the majesty and the awe of the God that we serve. And God understands that. But at the same time, we do have the capacity to understand how to show respect, dignity, reverence, and humility when we come in the presence of God. And when we come in the presence of God, and when we're talking about God, we're talking about someone who there is no one like Him. There's no one is equal. We have a song. There is none is equal. No one's in that category. No man that lives on this earth that will ever live will ever be on the same plateau as God is. So tonight, or this afternoon, or tomorrow, can you bow your head to pray to your Father? Remember who you're talking to. Remember who He is. Remember what He has the power to do. And remember what He's promised to do. And don't forget one other thing. He loved you enough to give you the blessing of being able to talk to Him when you need help, when you need encouragement, when you need strength. And a God who knows the name of all the planets, of all the stars, of all the number of the hairs in everybody's head that lives on this earth, that spoke the world of existence. When you talk, God hears and He listens. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever expressed more love for you than that? Or will anybody ever love you that much? To ask the question is to answer. The majesty of God. We need to be in awe of it. We need to respect it. We need to respect His person. And we need to live in godly fear in the way we approach Him, the way we acknowledge Him, and in the way that we conduct ourselves as His children. To remember, you know what? I'm 62 years old. And my mom and dad gave me my name a long time ago. And I've tried to live my life in such a way that I never bring shame upon my family, upon the name that I was given. You know why? Because of the love and the respect I had for my mother and my father. And I was given another name when I was 13. And that was the name Christian, the name of my Savior. And I hold that name in high regard too. And I don't ever want to do anything to bring shame and reproach on that name. And one of the easiest ways of not respecting that name is forgetting to show the reverence that His Father and Him are due because of who they are and who I am. You know what? It's humbling. It's truly humbling to understand that God created this world for us. He put us here and gave us life and everything on this planet to sustain our lives. All He's asked in return is that we never, ever forget who he is, what he is, and how more greater he is than us, and that we should always hold him in a place and in our mind, in a place that no one else holds except God. We'll continue our discussion tonight. Please take your psalm books out. Turn to the song that Brother Miller selected as a means of encouragement. We don't want to close this lesson without giving you an opportunity of rendering obedience to the gospel. Hearing the word of God is to produce faith in our life. That faith can lead us to repent. And if we're willing to repent, we're willing to confess him, and we're willing to submit to baptism, when we come up out of the water, we arise to walk in newness of life. We now have the wonderful opportunity to be able to address God as our Father. And he'll walk with us through life. As we go through life and meet the challenges, the pitfalls, the difficulties, the snares, the traps that the devil and the world places before us to derail our hope in Christ. And if we pray and we ask God for help, he'll listen. He'll direct our steps, and he'll help us walk through the minefield of life. And we'll get to the other side, and a lot of it will be easily forgotten because of the hope and the blessings of being in Christ. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we bid you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.